Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
It is an assertion of power, especially for people who either can't or won't retaliate.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, humiliation.
If you think about the things that different groups, different factions of groups use to put themselves in a position of power or authority over other people, the ability to humiliate, right, is very powerful. And one of the reasons that it's so powerful is that if someone isn't able to retaliate in the face of a humiliation, it's a very clear indication that you're not in control.
Well, I think there are a lot of things that we do in life to make us feel better about ourselves, and there are many strategies towards that. I was actually reading an article about humor, and it's amazing how unfunny articles about humor are. But
did you get any tips for us?
No. Clearly.
Clearly.
But one of the things that this article was talking about is that when you think about people's use of humor socially, you can use humor either to create more affiliation or more distance with and you can do it either with yourself or others. Mm-hmm. So you can, for example, make jokes that help to build yourself up, right? Or you can make jokes to make everyone else feel good about something. Those are kind of affiliative uses of humor. But then there are these destructive uses of humor, one of which is to make self-deprecating comments about yourself all the time in ways that belittle yourself in the eyes of others. But the other form is to use humor in an insult or humiliation form, where you are making yourself feel better by making everybody else worse off. And there are a variety of kinds of humiliation, some of which are intended to be funny in some way. So if you think about insult comedy, and some of which are not at all intended to be funny, but are still humiliating.
Yeah.
And they all have this commonality that you are building up your own self-concept and your own self-esteem at the expense of people around you who will not be able to return the favor.
Yeah. And I think, you know, almost everyone, and we've talked about this on a number of different shows in different contexts, having a sense of agency that you can sort of make choices in your life and kind of decide much of what happens to you in your life is an inherent part of human sense of well-being. But if somebody can humiliate you, right, and the either the image you have of yourself or what you're able to do or that kind of thing, it is sort of putting right in your face that actually you don't have as much control as you think you do, is a very powerful way to affect another human being in a negative way.
You know, one of the things about humiliation is that it is a, generally speaking, a social thing. What someone is doing is trying to demonstrate your inadequacy to another group.
Or just to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so part of the issue is, you know, you have to decide whether this person's statements and actions are things you should care about. You know, but there's a smaller market for bullies once you get out of elementary school. And I think that the reason for that is because at some point, the people realize, I just don't care what you think. I have other sources of self-esteem. I have other sources of self-confidence. And so your actions are not something that is defining me or my social position.
Yeah. I think most of us in life take too little time to decide who in our social circles we're going to allow to define us. You know, who we're going to allow ourselves to take feedback from, right? Because if you think about it, we interact with lots of people in contemporary society, and they all have opinions. Sometimes they're expressed verbally, sometimes in other ways.
That's a great point. Just wanted to throw that in.
And, you know, if you're going around in life and anybody you bump into is going to influence how you feel about yourself, you're going to have a pretty high amplitude wave of self-confidence going, you know?
Yeah.
But when you make that circle small, you know, when the number of people you say, that person meets several criteria. First of all, they actually care about me and they actually know what's going on. Now, that's a pretty small group, right? And so if you have people in your lives who know a lot about what's going on, but they don't really care about you, well, why should they get to decide? And you have people who care about you, but they don't really know what's going on. They probably shouldn't decide either, right? Because even though it's lovely to have somebody care about you in sort of an unequivocal way. But often, I think, when we're just sort of going about our lives, the people who seem to me to be unhappy, who work with a lot of different people, is that they've let too many of those people in. Too many of those people get to influence how they feel about themselves. And I think we underestimate the extent to which we can choose which people we let in to do that. Now, the challenge is doing that is not saying, well, I shouldn't care about what that person thinks only when they say something negative about you, right? The real secret is when they say something positive about you to say, you know, I don't care what that person thinks. Because you can't have it both ways. You know, the person can't be insightful and lovely when they think you're terrific, and then, you know, idiots who don't care about you when they think they think you're a jerk. You know, you can't have it both ways. And when you have that circle and it's relatively small, no matter what happens to you during the day, you have those people that now sort of define and help you define yourself as a person.
Next week, we'll talk about imposter syndrome with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. If you'd like to listen back to this show, or any of the Two Guys on Your Head episodes, subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.